Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she and her dorm mate saw something run into the bedroom. The next night, she had a horrible nightmare. Was it connected to the apparition that they saw?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And if you want access to all of our episodes, no ads, binge away. Check it out on Apple Podcasts and our premium channel there. If you're not on Apple Podcasts, there's Patreon. Patreon.com/realghoststories, or go to the Patreon app or our website, ghostpodcast.com. Three ways to get access to all the premium content. Whatever works for you. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, Tony, it's a beautiful day here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just fired up all my freaking allergies. It's sad, this time of year, because it's like, it's so nice outside and you want to go outside and spend time, and then you do, mm-hmm. and then you just pay for it.
Oh, I got a text this morning at 5:41. Hey, Dad, my throat really hurts and feels clogged up, and I've been drinking water, and I still have a broken kazoo-sounding voice, and my throat is still hurts.
Oh, no.
Harper. Kazoo-sounding voice.
Well, it's funny because Kathy has some very similar crud.
Yeah.
So we were supposed to record one day, I think on Friday, and she's like, I can't hardly talk. So I'm like, well, okay, totally get that. So we couldn't record. The next day I get a phone call from her and I pick up and she's like, hey, Carol. She sounded like a total pervy old guy. It was like, hey, Carol.
Sounds like a pervy old guy.
I'm really sick. And I'm like, this is the beginning of the creepiest phone call ever.
Yeah.
Hey, Carol. So, yeah, she was really sick. She sounded like an old man.
Hey, Carol. It's Kathy.
Kathy,
sick.
Is that you?
It's me, Kathy. It's, I know I don't sound like Kathy today, but I'm Kathy today.
I'm Kathy.
Yep.
That's exactly what she sounded like.
Well, I hope everybody's feeling better.
That's funny. Yeah. Her and Harper have the same crud.
Well, everything's blooming and all of it's going. I mean, it's lovely. I got out to get and got done. I did some gardening this weekend, which was nice to get out there, dig in the yard a little bit, find some bones, maybe some former burial sites, and then plant flowers. And I do actually have one spot in my yard that I'm curious if it is a grave.
Really?
Right, but I think an animal grave, I'm guessing. Because there's like a, it's a concrete bench, you know, kind of like a memorial-esque. There's nothing on it that says like, you know, here lies Scruffles or something like that. But it's just, it's kind of down by a tree at the end of the yard. There used to be a garden around it, and I got the garden out of there last year because it just turned into a bunch of weeds and it's all shaded. So now I have grass there, but the bench is there. And I am a little bit curious if maybe there's somebody's pet that is down there.
Makes you wonder, because the little bench thing's mm-hmm. kind of the giveaway.
It's kind of there. It's just kind of like there in a weird spot. I haven't moved it. I don't know that I'm going to move it. I don't know. But I'll contact. You got any dead pets in the backyard? I'm just curious. We're looking to dig some up and do a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you stuff dead animals.
Taxidermy.
And I'm wondering if we could get Snuckles, you know, kind of back up into a living type position for you. And then you could put it on your mantle at your new house. Sound like a plan?
And if it's just bones, even better. What a wonderful little sculpture that will be.
It'd be a lovely thing to give. It would be lovely. Back to our conversations in just a second. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. How do they do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery and up to 60% off what you pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen costs and markups, winemakers can pass those savings onto you without skimping on quality at all. As a result, you're going to get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality award-winning wines at a huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker. I love the variety. I love trying new things. I've got my family turned on to this. It is something that I am so happy exists, and the savings are wonderful. Naked Wines has been around for about 10 years now and funds over 90 independent winemakers with no commitments or membership fees. You can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part is, since you listen to the show, I have a promo code for you. Who doesn't like a promo code? So head to nakedwines.com/ghost and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in ghost for both the code and password and get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/ghost and use code and password ghost and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/ghost, code and password ghost for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Let's go to our first phone call of the day. It's 855-853-4802 if you want to share your ghost story. Hi.
Hi. It's Hunter Duncan. I'm not usually an avid ghost believer. I did grow up in a home where, you know, ghosts were real things. So my mom's pretty avid ghost believer. So I will say I might be open to the idea, but usually it takes a lot to sway me. Anyways, this story happens when I was a freshman in college. I'm currently graduated now, so this is about 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm here in Tennessee, and during my freshman year, I was put in the oldest dorms. It was one of the first ones. That's kind of relative. I thought it was important to mention. And then the second important thing to mention before I dive into the story is the layout of my dorm. It's like two cinder block rooms kind of next to each other, and in the first one you walk in and there are two desks, and then on the other opposing side of the room in the corner there is like a bathroom sink and mirror, and then you can go into a room from that first room that was a shared bathroom space with like a really small shower and a really small toilet, and then connected to the first room is the second room where the beds are, and that's the entire dorm, basically just these two cement rooms next to each other. So anyways, I was working on campus quite a lot, and so I really didn't get home until later. So I came home at work. It was like 11 p.m. It was another day. I had done classes. It was a weekend. I was excited to go out. So I come back. I'm talking to my roommate. My roommate's sitting behind me at one of those desks. And like I said, that bathroom sink was kind of in the corner of the first room. So if you're at the sink and somebody's sitting at the desk in the same corner, you can kind of look back and, you know, see that desk. So, you know, I'm washing my face, I'm taking my makeup off, you know, getting ready to go out, and I'm taking my contacts out. I'm very hard of seeing. I have a really extreme prescription. Without my glasses, I really can't see anything. It's just very, it's all blurry. So I'm taking my contacts out, I'm washing my face, and I'm talking to my roommate who's sitting in the desk, and I'm looking up and looking at her in the mirror to talk to her. And as I'm washing my face, I look up to look at her, and I see a flash of what looks like red behind me. And it runs from behind me into our bedroom area, which was that second cement room kind of connected. The only thing that connected those was a doorway, like a doorway. There was no hall or anything. So I'm sitting there, I see the red. You know, I'm really hard of sight, so I tend, when I have my glasses off, you know, things always look funky. So in my mind, that's how I'm justifying it. Oh, you know, it was probably something regular, but the fact that my contacts are out, you know, that's probably what it was. So I wouldn't have said anything, but then my roommate goes, you know, there's just a very heavy silence that overtook the room, and it was really tense all of a sudden, and she says, "Did you see that too?" And at this point, I was so unbelievably freaked out because I didn't say anything. I didn't even make a face. I just carried on as if nothing had happened. And I said, "What?" And she said, "Like red hair?" And I was like, oh my God. And then the rest of the night, we were both so beyond freaked out that we moved our mattresses into the front room because we were so scared because we saw whatever it was run into our bedroom. We stayed with the lights on the entire night. Neither one of us could sleep. And, you know, the next day comes by and I have the most awful, gruesome, like, scary nightmare I've ever had in my entire life. I remember it so vividly because I had to call my mom after, you know, the morning of and just talk to her about it because it had shaken me so unbelievably. And anyway, so the dream, so this is directly after, this is the night directly after everything had happened. So in my dream, I wake up in my bed, in my dorm, I go, everything's normal, I'm walking, and then I see that my front dorm room, and this is in the dream, the front dorm, like, bedroom door was open. So, just wide open, and, you know, I mean, that's scary, like, why would my door to my, you know, dorm be open? So I'm walking to go check it out in my dream, and then I see that the bathroom door is open, and I go into the bathroom, in my dream, and there's a pool of blood in front of the toilet, like just a big pool of blood. I don't know. And anyway, so I continue walking out the front door to see what's going on. And I'm looking around and I look down and in my dorm, there was a rec room and then a door that you would have to scan your ID to get in. And then the long hallway, which was all the dorms. So I'm looking down this hallway to where the door with the rec room and the door is open and it's held open by my RA. And she's sitting there and she's like looking at a clipboard. And she looks and catches sight of me in the hallway, and immediately this look of panic spreads across her face. And she immediately motions me, you know, come here, you know, like flailing her hands, motioning me for me to come towards her. And so I start running towards her. And I just remember this innate sense of fear that, like, consumed my whole body in this dream. And then something happened. I felt, like, a pain in my back. And I assumed that I had been shot or stabbed or something along those lines. I was hurt gravely. And then I woke up in my dorm. And I was so beyond freaked out. And I, you know, me and my roommate ended up looking online because the dorm was really old, like I said. So I was like, maybe something happened here. And if I had not seen it with my own eyes and the fact that she had said something, my roommate had said something when I didn't say anything, I wouldn't have believed it. And so I'm looking, I'm like, maybe something happened here. And I couldn't find any stories of any violence or student death that had occurred in the building or anything of that nature. And, you know, it never happened. I mean, that was in the very beginning of the year and I continued living there, the rest of the school year and I didn't have any weird occurrences. It did get to a point where I just hated being alone in the dorm. So if my roommate, you know, had gone home for the weekend or whatever, I would make somebody sleep over. I would invite one of my girlfriends over and, you know, sleep. I always felt uncomfortable in my room just because I was so scared. But nothing ever happened again. I went on to live in a different dorm on the same campus, like, the next year. And I didn't see anything. So, yeah, I guess that was my one ghost experience. And that is truly the only time I can say that anything like that has ever happened to me. Yeah, thank you so much for listening if you got this far. And I swear with everything that everything I just said is completely 100% true. All right, bye.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Thoughts on that?
You know, I think it's interesting that they both saw something at the same time. And I get that without her glasses, she's like, I'm just seeing things, can't see well anyway. Then her roommate sees it. But I wonder if the next night when she had the nightmare, if, you know, once something like that's in your head and it scares you, sometimes I think you can have a nightmare because of your emotional state. Like when you go to bed, you're still kind of subconsciously thinking about that.
Oh, completely.
And then it turns into a dream. And so I don't know that. The nightmare could just be that. Excuse me, a nightmare.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I would be having nightmares regardless. I mean, it doesn't mean it's there's something else that's happening. It's just more so you know, you had that traumatic experience and your brain's going to be trying to make sense of it for quite some time. And a lot of times it will come out in a dream.
And that would be scary to, especially when you see something and you're like, oh, I'm blind as a bat without my glasses on, ignore it. And then she's like, did you just see that?
Mm-hmm.
And you both saw it and it went into the bedroom. That would be weird.
Yeah.
I would be very nervous staying in there. I know me. I'd be looking for a different dorm room to move into.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's interesting, too. That doesn't sound like they had another experience after that.
No.
In there. I wonder if it's just, it was a like just a one-off, like a ghost, just like, I think I'm going to go from point A to B, and this is a good way to go.
Just happens to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that one with us. If you want to share yours, 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, everything ad-free, check it out. Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.